Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this session, we shall study the marriages of the Prophet. Since these marriages of the Prophet have become a hot subject of debate, they need to be understood in the very perspective they have been mentioned in the Quran. Now, we know that the initial marriages of the Prophet took place the way a marriage takes place, according to naturally arising circumstances. Therefore, we know that the first marriage of the Prophet took place with Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Prophet himself was just 25 years old at that time, and we know that Hazrat Khadija was 15 years his senior, and she was 40 years old. And this marriage went about happily for about 25 years when Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha died. Now, at this stage, the Prophet was left with very young children, and he had to marry again so that someone could look after them. And we know from history that he married an elderly lady, Hazrat Sauda radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was actually instrumental in looking after the family. Later, the Prophet married Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and this marriage actually took place in Medina. However, this consummation took place in Medina. It was actually proposed, and it was the proposal had been given and finalized in the Meccan period. Now, they are very. We know that regarding the marriage of Aisha, we have a number of issues. Foremost among them is her age. If the recent researches which have been carried out, especially by Hakim Niaz Ahmed and Habibur Rahman Kandalvi, and which have also been published, one comes to realize that there has been an absolute misinterpretation of history and narratives regarding the age of Aisha. And if all material is properly analyzed, it comes to mind that she was actually in her late teens or even in her early 20s when she got married and when the marriage consummated with the Prophet. It is absolutely erroneous to believe that she was 8 or 9 years old at the time of marrying the Prophet. Now, once we move further chronologically and consider the other marriages of the Prophet, we have to also consider the circumstances in those times in Medina. We know that the battles of Badr and Uhud had taken place in that time, and many Muslims had been martyred, and as a result, many Muslim women had become widows and many children had become orphans. So the Quran made an appeal to Muslims to come forward and marry more wives, more women, so that they could support these women who had become widows. And since the Prophet also had to set an example in this regard, he came forward and he married Zainab bint Khuzaimah and later on Hafsa bint Umar, we know who is the daughter of Hazrat Umar, and both of these had become widows. However, after some time, Zainab bint Khuzaimah died, and the Prophet was afforded with the opportunity of marrying or supporting another widow, and he promptly used this option, and he then married Umm Salama radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was the widow of Abu Salama, who had rendered meritorious services for Islam and who had been martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Now, at this stage, the Prophet had four wives: Hazrat Sauda, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa bint Umar, and Umm Salama. Now, if we move ahead to the next wedding or the next marriage which took place, we also once again have to analyze some of the circumstances which existed in Arabia in those times. We know that Islam inherited the inhuman institution of slavery. Slaves had become part and parcel of the society in those times, and freeing them in one go would have caused immense burden, not only socially but also economically, on the society. Therefore, Islam adopted a very gradual strategy in liberating these slaves, and it gave many measures which were instrumental in eradicating slavery in those times. One of these measures was that the Prophet actually married off his adopted son, who actually was a slave whom he had freed, with his cousin's sister Zainab bint Jahash, and this he did in order to raise the status of the slaves. However, for this, this marriage could not survive, and later on it had to be severed. And now the situation which the Prophet was faced was that since he had requested his cousin sister to marry Zayd ibn Harsa, actually, who was his adopted son, and since this request could not survive for much long, he did not know, except for the fact that he should himself perhaps appease her emotions by marrying her in solving the situation. And the Almighty also himself came forward and actually directed the Prophet to get married to Zainab bint Jahaz, not only to appease her emotions and to sympathize with her, but also to reform an evil social custom which was prevalent in those times in Arabia. And as per this custom, a person could not marry the wife, whether she was divorced or whether she was a widow, of his adopted son. Since this needed to be reformed, and since the prophet was the last prophet after whom no prophet would be coming, therefore the Almighty asked the prophet to marry Zainab bint Jahash, not only to appease her emotions, but also to reform this custom, which was very much prevalent in Arabia in those times. Now, as soon as he married Zainab bint Jahash, of course, we know that this was the fifth marriage, and the Almighty then gave a detailed law exempting the prophet from the four marriage restriction which was given to general Muslims, and told him that this restriction was being lifted from him because he was to discharge certain responsibilities as a prophet and as a messenger of God. Simultaneously, he was bound also. He was not allowed to divorce these wives, and he was not allowed to marry beyond a certain sphere. And a detailed law in this was given. And as per this law, the prophet could just marry in among three categories. The first of these were captives, or free women who had become captives and had been captured in military campaigns. So as per this directive, the prophet married Javeria, the Javeria Raziyallahu Ta'ala Anha, and the Safiya Raziyallahu Ta'ala Anha, who were both the daughters of famous leaders of Arabs. Secondly, he was allowed to marry among women who just wanted to associate themselves with the Prophet without demanding any marital or conjugal rights. And under this heading or statute, the Prophet married Hazrat Maymuna Raziyallahu Ta'ala Anha. And lastly, he was allowed to marry so that he could sympathize and so that he could show concern to women who had migrated, who were of his kin and of his family, and who had migrated with him from Makkah to Medina, giving up all their homes and all their residences for the sake of the Prophet. And under this, the Prophet actually married Umme Habiba, who was the daughter of the famed leader and the paternal uncle of the Prophet, Abu Sufyan, who of course later converted to Islam, Raziyallahu Ta'ala Anhu. So therefore we see that these later marriages were conducted to discharge certain responsibilities as a prophet and as a messenger. We know that Javeria, Hazrat Safiya, and Hazrat Umme Habiba were the daughters of three very famous leaders of Arabia. And once the prophet got married to them, the rivalry of the Arabian tribes, whose fathers were the leaders, actually died down. And through this very measure, many of the Arab tribes became very, very soft towards Islam, and they later on actually bent down before the forces of Islam. So if we view all the marriages of the Prophet, we come to a conclusion that while some of them were realized or materialized absolutely on the basis of naturally arisen circumstances, some of the other marriages were conducted to reform social customs, as is the marriage with Zainab bint Jahash. Similarly, some of the marriages were conducted in order to solve a social situation which had arisen, in which case a lot of Muslim women had become widows, and in this case the Prophet married Umme Salama, he married Hafsa bint Umar, and he married Zainab bint Khuzaimah. And finally, as a messenger and a prophet of God, in order to appease the rivalry of Arabia, he married the daughters of three very famous leaders, and these daughters were Hazrat Javeria, Hazrat Umme Habiba, and Hazrat Safiya رضي الله عنها. So if we view these marriages of the Prophet in the light shed by the Quran, we come to the conclusion that none of them had anything to do with the personal desire of the Prophet. All of them were conducted primarily to realize certain objectives. And precisely for this reason, actually, later on, we are told by the Quran that he was not required to deal equally amongst his wives, because these wives were given in his marriage for certain objectives. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ